Our first speaker is Gail G. Good morning. I'm Gail. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater, anorexic, and I thank you for asking me to speak this morning. I'm very grateful. I'll share my experience, strength, and hope. And this morning in meditation, three words came to me: fear, agenda, and gratitude. So I'm kind of going to tailor it around that. Just to give you a background, I've been abstaining about 7 years and 9 months. I came into the program March 33 years ago. I weighed 225 pounds, and I abstained for a little over 7 years, and I went out for 19. I came back 7 years and 9 months ago. This is a progressive disease. That's my experience. I weighed 350 pounds, and I couldn't stop binging. I'm in another 12-step program. I stayed sober, but I could not stay abstinent. And my lowest weight was 109 pounds as an adult. And I have both ends of the disease. To give you some background, I was born in Hollywood. Both of my parents have eating disorders. My father was an alcoholic. I have relatives that were heroin addicts, alcoholics. I come by it. I have a seat in this program. And as a child, I had no interest in food. I was not overweight. In fact, I was underweight. I really didn't care about food. My whole thing was girls want to have fun, and I wanted to have fun. And all I wanted to do was play. I did good in school. And somewhere around the age of 6, I can remember the first time I compulsively ate. There was a lot of stress in my household, a lot of violence. And I remember asking my dad if I could eat a certain thing, a large amount of it. And he said, I don't know why you want to, but go ahead. And I can remember that day in our house on Prospect and Hillhurst. And it was like, I had that relief. All through my childhood, when I graduated high school, I was 148 pounds. I can remember my life in pounds. And I was 145 to 148, and I felt obese. The dieting started around the age of 9. My mom was an anorexic, and I have a brother and sister, and she didn't do it to them, but she kept telling me, I don't want you to be fat. I don't want you to be fat. And, being an addict, which I believe I was born as an addict, I took to it and I tried all these diets. When I did an inventory on diets when I came back this time, minimum 70 diets throughout my life. Does it work? That's step one. The insanity. I am powerless. I would lose the weight, I would gain the weight. I would lose the weight, I would gain the weight. I've been in and out of jail 5 times because of my other addiction. And I felt like I had a scarlet S on my head and felt I could never really achieve anything in my life. I moved maybe 28 times until I moved into the place where I am now, where I got sober and abstinent. I've lived there almost 36 years. I hate to move. I hate change. But, I got married twice. The first time, one of the major diets I did was the protein-sparing fast diet, and that re-triggered my anorexia, or my uncaring to eat. I was working in Beverly Hills, and a customer came to me and said, I'll pay for you to go to the protein-sparing fast if you want. And I did it, and I did it so good that I stopped eating altogether. And I tried to commit suicide. I took strychnine, and the doctors told me that I had no body fat. And I was a compulsive weigher and a compulsive measurer. And my upper arms were 8 inches. My knees were 11 inches. You could see every rib in my body. I looked like a concentration camp victim, and I would go 4 to 6 weeks without eating a morsel of food, nothing. And something triggered it, and I took strychnine, and they rushed me to Cedars, and they said they didn't have an antidote for what I took, and I didn't really want to die. I was screaming for help. I've been on medications, lithium, Haldol, major things. I can remember I went to Century City and I told him I have this crazy behavior around food. I couldn't figure it out. I thought I was the only person that just couldn't get that. You know, I saw other people who were overweight, but the insanity that went on in my head just was insane. You know, I would eat sometimes, I wouldn't eat sometimes, just crazy. So nothing worked, and I did that protein-sparing fast. And then to remedy that, I got married because somebody made me laugh. And I thought, this is what I need. You know, this will take care of it. And we went to Europe for 17 weeks. One of my defects is financial insecurity. And we had money, and we took my dad's credit card, and we traveled through Europe charging his American Express. And when we got back, he was almost insane. He was getting bills, and I'm thinking, oh, we'll pay this when we get back. Both of us made restitution. My ex-husband came into program, and that's how I came to 12 steps. The first time I came into program, I was 18 years old. I had just gotten out of jail, and my father said, you need help. And I said, I don't think so. These people are old, and they have a problem, and I don't. And it took me 14 years. I came back at 32. At 33, I came into program. Somebody told me, I went to a meeting, and she said, you know, I think I was about 3 months sober, and I was wearing white sweatpants, weighing 225 pounds. And she said, I think you need another program. There is a program for you. It's called Overeaters Anonymous. Why don't you try a meeting? And I went to my first meeting, and I thought, this is what I have been looking for my whole life. I went to a meeting every day. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps. I thought, you know, this was miraculous. And I lost about 100 pounds. And I got involved in a relationship. I waited a year. I did everything I was told. I did an inventory. I did service. I sponsored. And I transferred my addiction to a relationship, which is an issue for me. I've always gotten fixed by men. So we got married. We went together for 4 years, got married, and it didn't work out. I was about 4.5 years abstinent. I got pregnant right away. I had a son. I was sober. I was abstinent. I walked through it, and we separated, and I raised my son. And when he was about 2 years old, I lost my abstinence. Before that, I had meetings in my house. I stayed in contact. And I know today that I am one bite. There is no absolute recovery. There is, on a daily basis, I have a reprieve. And I never, never want to forget it. I was 59 years old when I came back into OA. I'm going to be 67. And when I came back, I thought, I just want the head to stop, the craziness. I would work. I was working at a factory out in Pacoima, and really hit the dregs in my financial situation. And I would come home and binge. I wouldn't eat all day and binge and watch TV. And one night, my brother called me, and he said, or one morning, we were speaking, it was February 8th, and he said, how's your job? And I said, oh, it's good. And he said, you know, you're so funny. 1 week it's bad, 1 week it's good. He said, why don't you go back to Overeaters Anonymous? Now, I hadn't been in 19 years, and my brother, I can't say he was a compulsive eater, but he might have our disease, or might have our disease. And he said, why don't you go to a meeting? And I said, you know, I've really been thinking of it, and I'm thinking it's been 19 years, and I've really given it some serious thought. But I didn't go back. And he said, why don't you go this morning? And I said, well, maybe I'll go towards the end of the week. And he said, no, why don't you just find a meeting and go today? And I did. I don't know what happened. February 8th, it was raining. I hadn't taken a shower in 2 weeks. I didn't wear makeup. I wore a scarf. I was 350 pounds. And I put on my black outfit and a raincoat, and I went to a meeting, and I sat down, and I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, some of it was fear that I would see people that I had sponsored, and here I am, obese. And I just sat there. And after the meeting, I said, I'm coming back. I know I'll be back. And I walked over to the literature table, and then I scooted out the door, and a woman grabbed me, and she said, are you a newcomer? And I said, no, I'm just coming back after a 19-year relapse. She said, well, what's your binge? And I said, sugar. And she said, here's my number. Call me. And just don't eat sugar for 30 days. And then somewhere in that, I heard go to a meeting every day. I had bald tires. I had no cash. And I made it to a meeting every day. And I got abstinent. And it makes me cry. You know? Who would have thought? And I was late to meetings. I've lived in the valley, all over the valley. I'd get lost. I'd make it to 20 minutes, but I made it to a meeting. And after 30 days, she said, I told her, I said, well, I've been to a meeting every day. And I said, maybe I'll just go to 6 meetings a week now. And she said, well, I never told you to go to a meeting every day, but when you said you were, I thought, you go, girl. And you know what? I just sat there and I couldn't even talk. I just cried. I listened to your stories on how you recovered and what you were doing in your life. And, you know, if this is brainwashing, wash my brain, because I have a sick mind and I need your help. I need your support. And about 4 months into my abstinence, I did an inventory on my ex-husband. He had passed away when my son was 15. My son is now 29. The brother that told me to come back to this program passed away too 4 years ago. And I did an inventory on my ex-husband. And I went to the cemetery and I got down on my knees and I started crying and I said, you know, I blamed you all these years for this. And, you know, I have choices. And that's what this program teaches me, is that I am responsible for myself. Now, I can't take the obsession for the food away. I wished I could. But, you know, using the steps, doing the inventory, I work with a sponsor. My sponsor has a sponsor. I go to 4 or 5 meetings a week, and, you know, I thought my life would never change. My life is nothing like it was when I walked back. I've changed careers from working in a warehouse. I got a career. And I went back to school, and now I'm back in school. And, you know, I just recently lost a friend to breast cancer. Another friend got breast cancer, and she's in hospice. My brother passed away. My mother had a stroke. I've had jobs. I worked almost 4 years in that warehouse, and I thought, or about 3.5 years. And I thought, I will never get out of here. And I just kept showing up, and I kept abstaining. And I worked with my first sponsor for 4 years, about 4 months, I'm sorry. And then I switched sponsors and worked with one for five years, and now I'm working with one for about 1.5 years. And, you know, what I've learned is how to take care of myself and how to say no. I was a great people pleaser. And when my mother had a stroke, my sister disowned me because I wouldn't take care of her. And my mother needs really a lot of medical help. And my son's mad at me right now. And these are all things I'm just sharing with you because I could be binging my brains out. And today I'm at a meeting and I'm abstinent for today. And I have hope. That was one of the things. So what was the agenda? So I had a lot of fear as a child, and I had a lot of fear as an adult, and I write about it a lot, and I walk through a lot of my fear, and the fear I can't, I move on. And I love what my sponsor says, let it go. And I want to say, no, I want to hold on to it. And I love the saying about the cat scratches. There's nothing that I gave up that doesn't have cat marks all over it, you know, scratch marks, because I'm a hard learner. And I guess I had to really get to a bottom of 350 pounds working in a warehouse thinking that was how I was going to end up my life. And, you know, I know that I can go out and eat again. I don't have a guarantee. But if you're struggling or if you're having doubts, I'm nothing special. I look out over this audience. You all understand me. I don't have to explain my compulsion. But there is hope in this program. You know, I'm powerless over my food. I take no medication, and I have not taken medication in almost 34 years. You know, I'm trying to think of the third step. Came to believe that a power greater than myself, that's second step. But anyways, I have a belief in a higher power. I've done two inventories. I share my writing almost on a daily basis, because once you take the food away, I need something to, not that she gives me direction, but I need to get it out of my head. And my father was in program, and he said, when you share, it comes out your mouth and you hear it back through your ears. And I really see the hope and the changes that occur by sharing it. I just can't do my writing and leave it in a book. I have defects today. I wonder why my horns in my car always break, because I just honk so much. It's not road rage, but boy, I let them know. I have a lot of fear. My horn still works, which is nice. I have a lot of fear. I like to control. You can see when you're 109 pounds how you control your life. It doesn't work. I think fear is one of the major ones that God or my higher power has removed from me. I've been able to walk through a lot of fears. And I have a bucket list, and I'm on my third one, and that's why I'm going back to school. And I want to talk about gratitude. You know, when I'm in the midst of something, you know, it took me years and years. I read a page out of the big book every day. I pray and meditate in the morning. I take sponsees, and I call my sponsor every day. And if that's dependent, that's the kind of dependency I need, because I need to be accountable. I can't always make it to a meeting. I make it to about four meetings, and I do some phone meetings in between. And school is kicking my butt. And, you know, I'm doing good, and I'm trying, and I need the clarity. And why didn't I do it when I was 18? Because I couldn't, you know, and now it's time. Humbly asked to have my defects removed, and I hear this at meetings, not all of them get removed when we want. And, you know, sometimes we just have to kind of move along and accept. And I think that's one of the things I'm grateful for. I always wanted to be the thinnest and the best and never make a mistake, and my perfectionism kept me in a little teeny box, laying in bed, clicking through cable channels, you know. I don't have a TV. I haven't had a TV in almost 4 years, and I don't eat in bed. And I don't weigh and measure my food, but I put it on a plate, and that's what I have for the day. Is it time? Oh, okay. I'm just so grateful for this program and the 12 steps. It's given me freedom. I pray and meditate almost every day. I read out of the big book. I have started to read. That's it? Oh. I started reading with one of our fellows on the 12 steps, the AA 12 and 12. And it's just been amazing. I just want to thank you all for being here, and thank you for letting me share my experience, strength, and hope.